Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, July 9th, 2026. Hope everybody had a good holiday weekend. We'll start with a story titled Huge Devastation, Fire Damages Dreamers, Inc. Local Artists Rally to Help Tattoo Shop. And this is written by Christy Jankowski in Westville. And there's a couple pictures. Dreamers, Inc. in Westville is closed following a fire on Monday. Local artists are fundraising to get the shop back up and running. And then a picture of staff photo of the Dreamers, Inc. team provided by GoFundMe page. Nicole Lesko started to help replace tattoo equipment, supplies, and more. Local artists are coming together to help one of their own after an explosion closed a local tattoo shop. Dreamers, Inc., a tattoo shop in Westville, closed following a fire on Monday. The shop owners say they received a call Monday morning that Dreamers, Inc. was on fire. All the time, they said the studio only experienced smoke damage and no structural damage. I have been trying to find the words all night to explain what's been going on, Kylie Lesko and the Dreamers, Inc. team shared on Facebook on Tuesday. But in reality, this is a huge devastation for us girls here at Dreamers, Inc. We were so hopeful yesterday. The policemen and firemen in our community responded so swiftly. We were truly praying the damage was minimal. Unfortunately, that was not the case. Alan Marcotte is using her business, JMM Photography, to help out Dreamers, Inc. She is offering photos for a purpose, 10-minute sessions at Kennecuck State Park on Sunday, July 19th and Sunday, July 26th. She just pours out so much into the community. She's giving women a spot to start a career, and I just think it's become a super cool space for women, especially, but anybody, just a creative space and fun one, Marcotte said. I just see how hard she works, and I think this really sucks, and I want to help her if I can. Those interested are asked to give a $10 donation, $10 to retain their spot, and the rest is donation-based with a suggestion of at least $50. 100% of every single dollar donated will go directly to the shop owner to help rebuild, Marcotte said. If you've ever been photographed by me, supported my work, or just believe in showing up for people when it matters, this is one of those moments. Let's turn something awful into something powerful. You can see what spots are available on her Facebook page. The first day is full, but I have opened a second day now. I just wanted to help. If I can help Kylie and help people get pictures, then that's just like a super win, you know, Marcotte said. They also donate to the animal shelter and different causes. So yeah, I think that it's time to help her too. So I thought it was a good way to do it. A GoFundMe has also been formed by Nicole Lesko, sister to Kylie, to help out Dreamers, Inc. due to the artists and staff being unable to work since the July 6th fire. The campaign will help replace tattoo equipment and supplies, restore workspaces, support employees during the closure, and reopen the studio, Nicole Lesko wrote on the page. The fundraiser states the building remains standing, but nearly all equipment, merchandise, and artist setups inside were lost. So far, $2,820 has been raised for their $15,000 goal. My heart is shattered, Lesko said. I put everything I have to offer into this place. The shop was my dream since I was 16 years old. I started so small and finally got it where we were all comfortable and happy. I would have never in a million years think something like this would happen, but it did. If you are a client of Dreammakers, Inc., the artists will be reaching out individually. You guys have been our biggest cheerleaders, pushing us to continue to on and not give up, she wrote on social media. I won't lie, I think it's safe to say we all felt defeated Tuesday, but we will overcome this and be stronger and better than ever. The fire and explosion are under investigation. Lesko said they hope the fundraiser will cover the damages and reopen as soon as possible. Next story is titled Danville Police Adds Embedded Crisis Worker, again written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. The Danville Police Department will soon have an embedded crisis worker, a partnership with the City of Danville, Crosspoint Human Services, and the Danville Police Department is leading to a new position to pause the gap, said Chief Christopher Yates. This is something that we have considered and talked about, the needs that we have for the police department, as well as serving the community in areas of law enforcement, Yates said. We're saying that often law enforcement handles different situations that are beyond the criminal element. There may be a criminal element involved, however, that is the result rather than sometimes the cause. Yates said the partnership was formed to help bridge a gap where mental health referrals may be more helpful than a jail cell. The biggest problem that we have is that pause in between potential time for intervention and other needs and getting someone who's there able to talk to the person, Yates said when they checked their local resources. Crosspoint Human Services was high up there because they already have an excellent partnership. Yates said the position will cover the hours that are most needed. We're looking at peak hours. It's not something that's first shift only, but peak hours. And then how can we move forward once we work out the little incidental tweaks that need to be worked out, he said. Tuesday's meeting was the next step in getting an embedded crisis worker on their team. The funding for the workers will be covered by Crosspoint Human Resources. The vote to approve the agreement was unanimous. Next story is titled Council Discusses Treasurer's Position, again written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. A majority of council members seem to be in favor of changing the city treasurer position to an appointed one rather than elected. The question is, do they change how the position is decided, by a referendum vote or by a city ordinance, with the most vocal proponents of a city ordinance citing past issues? We were put on a stop payment by the IDOT, Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. recalled. There were 2 years that we could have been able to do no road that we would have been able to do no road work in the city of Danville if it hadn't been for the exceptional stewardship of our department heads and leaders. Williams said the city could have lost the local sales tax fund. Not only could we have lost the grant money and any potential grant money, they could have put us on a stop order payment for the entire city of Danville, Williams said. We would not even get our local sales taxes. Imagine that. Imagine if we had no revenue with which to do the business of the city. The city attorney, Leon Parker, explained the routes the council can take to change the position from an elected to the appointed one. I'm not necessarily opposed to a referendum. I guess one question would be, could it also be an advisory referendum? Alderman Doug Ahrens asked, this is not something that the public is tuned into. They don't deal with the treasurer unless they're collecting a check from them, and they don't know what the treasurer does. Ahrens added that he thinks putting the decision to a referendum will be difficult to get past because of the angst with government these days, and as I've observed it over the last 20 years, it's a real problem, and that's why I said advisory referendum. I have no problem with people giving their opinions. Alderman Rick Strebing agreed to make it an ordinance decision. We put our faith in an individual who didn't do anything wrong, just didn't do anything, Strebing said. Our constituents believe we're all voted on to be here, and believe me, if you make a bad decision, you're going to hear about it the first thing, tomorrow morning or tonight. Alderwoman Tricia Teague said she has not finalized a decision. I know that is a concern of citizens, and so it needs to be addressed, Teague said. I think that one of the reasons why we're looking at this is because we recognize that because the issues that we had previously said the jeopardy that it put the city in. There is also the potential for another course of action, which is allowing for a recall of elected position. Williams said he was not sure a removal would be possible beyond criminal action by the elected official. Aarons agreed, saying, "Recall is not an option." Alderman pay raises were also discussed, as well as having that pay tied into their attendance. Council meeting to revisit their topics in the near next future meeting. There's just one obituary today. Curtis Boehm, 73, passed away July 1st. He lived with curiosity, humor, generosity, and an enduring appreciation for music, craftsmanship, adventure, and those he loved. He born in Danville. A celebration of life's memorial service will be held at 3 p.m. on Saturday, July 11th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Matt Filiski will officiate. Visitation will be held from 1 to 3 on the Saturday at the funeral home. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the Illinois State University School of Music, PSC Partners Seeking a Cure, or the Danville Humane Society. Next story is titled, Watchfire Introduces a Digital Billboard Innovation, written by a staff reporter in Danville. And there's one picture, new enhancements to Watchfire's Ignite OA platform give billboard operators more ways to sell inventory, automate campaigns, and connect with leading programmatic advertising platforms. Watchfire announced a series of updates designed to help digital billboard operators reduce operating costs while increasing revenue and improving day-to-day efficiency. The challenge isn't managing screens, it's consistently filling them with paying advertisers, said Kyle Dines, Vice President of Outdoor Advertising at Watchfire. Our focus is simple, help operators spend less and make more. Leading the announcement is Watchfire's new energy-efficient digital billboard technology that reduces power consumption by as much as 30%. With energy representing one of the largest ongoing expenses in the industry, this provides an immediate and immeasurable opportunity to lower operating costs without compromising performances. Watchfire has also focused on reducing the total cost of ownership by improving connectivity, upgrades to cellular hardware, data plans, and customer support reduce monthly communication costs while improving network reliability and providing better visibility into display performance. Cellular costs can add up quickly across the network, Dine said. In many cases, we can help operators lower those costs while improving service and response times. Watchfire also continues to invest heavily in Ignite OA, their proprietary content management platform, which is included for the life of the display at no additional cost. Purpose-built for digital billboard operators, Ignite OA now offers direct one-click connections to leading programmatic platforms, including Blip, Vister, and Parian Hivestack, giving operators access to a broader pool of advertisers and helping improve fill rates. Ignite OA goes beyond scheduling content by giving operators tools to better sell and manage their advertisers' advertising inventory. Rotary campaigns give advertisers market-wide reach through a single campaign that automatically rotates across multiple displays, maximizing inventory utilization while simplifying campaign execution. Conditional content allows operators to deliver messages based on factors such as time of day, weather, or other real-world triggers, creating more relevant campaigns and higher value advertising opportunities. These aren't just features, they directly impact how operators sell and how much they can generate from each board, Dine said. WatchFire's approach combines energy-efficient hardware, optimized connectivity, revenue-focused software, and hands-on support to help operators run more efficiently and profitable digital networks. At the end of the day, if we can help customers reduce costs, sell more effectively, and operate more efficiently, we're doing our job, Dine said. For more information, visit watchfire.com. Next story from Danville, written by a staff reporter, Chris Healthy Aging hosting WISE program. Chris Healthy Aging introduces wellness initiative for seniors education known as WISE. According to a release from Chris, WISE is their newest educational program offering classes such as celebrating the senior stage of life and feeling empowered about your healthcare. This class is offered every Monday from 1 to 3 p.m. beginning July 13th until August 17th at Chris Healthy Aging at 309 North Vermilion Street in Danville. The WISE program is designed for older adults 60 and older and is free to all who attend. Participants will have an opportunity to meet new people and interact with them on many aging topics, including health lifestyles, risk factors to sidestep, medications to avoid, simple tools to empower seniors, and celebrating your senior lifestyle. To register for the WISE program, please contact Keisha or Val at 217-443-2999. For more information, please refer to our website at chrishealthyaging.org or call our office at 217-443-2999. Another one by a staff reporter, Perryville Road closures are set for July 9th and 10th. The Vermilion County Highway Department announced partial closures of Perryville Road on Thursday, July 9th and Friday, July 10th. According to the release, Perryville Road will be closed at the Stony Creek Bridge from 6:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. on Thursday, July 9th and Friday, July 10th each day. The closure is required to remove a log jam caused by the recent flooding. Drivers should seek alternate routes. Next story out of Effingham. Pastor reflects on shooting at Effingham Church in the CNHI News. And there are two pictures. The one on the left reflects on Sunday's incident at St. John's. It says the Reverend Mike Burdick reflects on Sunday's incident at St. John's Lutheran Church, where he is senior pastor. And then on the right, there's Illinois State Police investigators examine the scene of a shooting at St. John's Lutheran Church in Effingham on Sunday. When Alan O. Gattino appeared Sunday morning at St. John's Lutheran Church in Effingham asking for help, the Reverend Mike Burdick responded in the way his clerical training and service to the community had always guided him to. "He spent 10 to 15 minutes with me," said Burdick, senior pastor of the West Jefferson Avenue congregation. "We're accustomed to people wanting to have some help, you know, have time with a pastor or have food or something like that. So we're accustomed to that, and that's what we did, provided him help. And he made some choices that just led to a regrettable situation." Authorities say that at 9:27 a.m., St. John's Security contacted the Effingham Police Department to report a suspicious man inside the church and a suspicious vehicle in the parking lot. Burdick noted that the 8 a.m. church service had concluded by then, but at 9:15, Christian education program was underway. A later service was canceled. Effingham police said, and Effingham County Sheriff's deputies responded to the church and located the man a short time later, according to Illinois State Police. The agency now is in charge of the investigation. The suspicious vehicle was reported stolen out of Marion County, State Police said in a press release. Officers from city and deputies from the county attempted to restrain the man, state police said in the release. During the struggle, the man produced a firearm, which discharged, and the man was struck, the release said. State police on Monday identified Gattino, 36, of St. Charles, Missouri. "We had people leave the building immediately just so that the authorities could do what they needed to do, and EMTs could be in there, and they were here so fast and so helpful, Burdick said. Gattino was taken to a local hospital and later transported by helicopter to a regional hospital with life-threatening injuries. No one else was injured in the incident, the release said. Local law enforcement referred all questions to state police. Illinois State Police on Monday would not provide an update on Gattino's condition, the type of weapon involved, or whether any charges were pending. This was an isolated incident, and there is no known threat to the community, the release said. I wouldn't say it was all normal, Burdick said, when asked to describe his conversation with Gattino. He was a man in need. He wanted to talk to a pastor, and he got to talk to the pastor. So that's probably all I can say at this time. It's an ongoing investigation. I just want to emphasize we're accustomed to people needing help. He received help and received care, and our church will continue to care for people. It was so regrettable, the actions he took. It's terrible. The pastor is grateful that no one else was hurt during the encounter. He's concerned about the man's well-being and everyone affected by the incident. We care about him, and we care about every member and all the police officers that responded, and will continue to show love for our members and our community and people who come to the door. We'll continue down that path. So it was hard. It was a hard, hard day, Burdick said. Not too hard for God. I know it sounds like a cliche, but God provided strength and help and protection, and we don't take that for granted. We're glad that it was an isolated incident. He wasn't part of something bigger. It was just isolated. And I love they put in the press release, there's no continuing threat to the community. I believe that to be true, but what a day. The pastor searched for words on Monday to describe his reaction to Sunday's events. How to even begin to reply, he said. Gratitude that is... it was isolated, that no other people were hurt, gratitude that police officers and our church members did appropriate good things, and they were welcoming to him. So glad for all of that. Your mind swirls around how much worse it could have been, he added, and you never want it to happen again. We will continue as a church to tell the good news about Jesus and welcome our community, serve people who are both members and passing through Effingham. We're not going to change how we love our community, but we're sure sad for what happened. We've been accustomed to receiving people and giving them help, both with the good news about Jesus and the love and the support that they need. We're going to continue to do that by God's grace, and I'm glad we can. So that's probably my overarching thought that keeps swirling in my mind. Next story out of Veazersburg, written by a staff reporter, 5 Seek, title of Miss Fountain County. A field of 5 contestants is seeking the title of Miss Fountain County 2026. The competition will take place at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, July 11th in the Paris Livestock Arena at Fountain County 4-H Fairgrounds at 476 West U.S. 136, Veazersburg. Resigning Queen Josephine Harshbarger will crown her successor on the 71st annual competition. There's no admission fee. However, those wanting to vote for the People's Choice Award are encouraged to bring cash. Contestant containers will be placed near the stage. The Fountain County Fair will take place July 10th through the 16th. This year's contestants are Jalen Allen, 18, of Covington. She's the daughter of Nikki Allen. She's a recent graduate of Covington and will attend Purdue this fall, where she intends to study genetics and livestock in her pursuit to become a livestock embryologist. While in high school, she participated in Student Council, National Honor Society, FFA, volleyball, swimming, tennis, and Letterman's Club. She is a 10-year 4-H member. Her projects have included vet science, goats, photography, foods, and various others. Caitlin Callahan, 20, of Covington. She is the daughter of Scott and Sherilyn Callahan. She's graduated from Westfield in 2024 and will be a junior at Purdue this fall, where she's studying animal sciences with a concentration in production and industry and a minor in forensic science. After earning her graduate degree, she plans to attend graduate school for animal science or meat science. She currently works at Prime Cut 41 in Vetersburg and at the Boilermaker Butcher Block in West Lafayette. At Purdue, she is involved in the Purdue University Dance Marathon Productions team, is a member, a mentor for first-generation students in the College of Agriculture, is a member of the Purdue Collegiate Cattlemen's Association and the Indiana Cattlemen's Beef Association, and a member of Five Move Sorority. While in high school, she participated in golf, volleyball, basketball, concert, jazz, and pep bands, Color Guard, Student Council, National Honor Society, and Spanish Club. Allison Dotson, 18, of Attica. She's the daughter of Dave and Kim Dotson, graduate from Fountain Central, and will attend Purdue this fall to study at agribusiness. While in high school, she participated in swimming, tennis, track, and FFA. Kendall Shoemaker, 18, of Covington. She's a daughter of Ken and Valley Shoemaker. She recently graduated from Covington and going to South Dakota State this fall to study wildlife and fisheries science and agricultural agribusiness marketing. She hopes to pursue a career in private land and water management. And Claire Smith, 19, of Attica. She's the daughter of Amanda Eberly and Matthew Smith. She graduated from Fountain Central in 2025 and will be a sophomore at Ivy Tech Community College pursuing an entrepreneurial degree. Her career goal is to open a bakery for pets and people. She's currently works at Wellbrook of Crawfordsville as an activities associate and as a CNA. While in high school, she participated in softball, was a football team manager, and competed in archery. She's a 10-year 4-H veteran. The Miss Fountain County Queen program is a feeder program for the Miss Indiana State Fair Queen program. The program places emphasis on community encouragement, engagement, public speaking skills, and relationship building. We provide a platform for young women to showcase their skills and talents and gain confidence. Our program has been empowering local women for several decades and has helped them achieve their dreams. Just a couple quick community briefs. Automobile Club meets tonight. The Eliana Antique Automobile Club will meet at 6:30 p.m. Thursday, July 9th at Ridgeview Baptist Church at 3838 North Vermilion Street. And Fisher hosts musical improv. The historic Fisher Theater at 158 North Vermilion Street in Danville is hosting Scriptless in Seattle, America's musical improv comedy at 7 p.m. on Friday, July 10th. To describe Scriptless in Seattle, think Whose Line Is It Anyway? Meets live music, audience participation, and nonstop laughs. Every show is created on the spot, meaning no two performances are ever the same. Admission is $25, but groups of 10 or more tickets are $20 when using the group rate code 10+ with purchasing tickets. For more information, go to Fisher Theater website at www.fishertheater.com. And Art League hosts special exhibit. Danville Art League is reflecting on the people, place, and moments that have identified Vermilion County celebrating its 200th anniversary and the United States celebrating its 250th. A walk through the history of the league is an exhibit currently on display at the Danville League at 320 North Vermilion Street in Danville. The exhibit is 9 a.m. until noon on Saturday and Wednesdays. For more other times, please call 217-442-9264 to make an appointment. Additionally, Gary Resch, owner of the Resch Frame Shop and a former Art League president, will speak at a reception on Saturday, September 12th from 1 to 3 p.m. Refreshments will be served. It is free and open to the public. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, July 9th, 2026. Like I said, I hope you had a good holiday weekend. It was pretty hot. I was in the parade, so I was very hot. But anyway, I hope you all have a good week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.